Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast, your go-to source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We hope you tune in often for all things people management, organizational development and change, organizational leadership, and social impact related. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with Human Capital Innovations Podcast. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. In this HCI podcast episode, I talk with Murad Salman Mirza about taking an interdisciplinary approach to organizational development and change management. Murad Salman Mirza, welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation with you. I appreciate you taking the time. You join us from Pakistan, and it's in the evening there. It's morning here in Utah in the U.S. So recognizing the time difference, I appreciate you being willing to take time out of your evening to join us and share your insights and your experience with all of my listeners today. For all my listeners, Murad is a worldwide recognized expert in a variety of areas, but what we're going to be focusing on in our conversation today is taking an interdisciplinary approach to organizational development and change management. And as we get started, I just wanted to share his bio with everybody. Murad Salman Mirza is an innovative thinker and an astute practitioner with more than 20 years of multidisciplinary experience in organizational development, talent management, and business transformation in a rich array of roles, such as board member, senior executive, corporate manager, consultant, trainer, auditor, author, speaker, mentor, etc. He ended the last decade as globally ranked number one in HR and culture, top five in leadership, management, and change management, top 20 in agility, innovation and future of work, and top 35 in customer experience by the world's first open platform based in the US for thought leaders, which is Thinkers 360. His insights, innovations, solutions, methodologies, tools, techniques, and approaches have been added to the libraries of premier institutions across the world, such as the United Nations, Harvard, MIT, Oxford, Cambridge, Princeton, Berkeley, Cornell, Stanford, Columbia, INSEAD, on and on. And I could just keep going, all the reach that his work has had for the growth and development of their talent. He has successfully guided, trained, and enabled organizations from the services and manufacturing sectors in gaining competitive, strategic, and operational advantages through ingrained core values, cohesive corporate culture, fervent embrace of diversity and inclusion practices, and responsive organizational design and structures, incisive organizational development interventions, engaged talent management initiatives, robust management systems, astute use of technology, and an unrelenting focus on enhancing the delight factor for internal and external customers. Currently, he is advising, consulting, and doing training and development work and mentoring and speaking with regional and global professional forums. Additionally, he engages as a contributing author, blogger, and guest columnist for several prestigious publications around the world. Again, what a pleasure to have you joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate your time and commitment to sharing knowledge in this area with practitioners around the world. And before we launch into the conversation about organizational development and change management from an interdisciplinary perspective, is there anything else you would like to share with listeners by way of background, personal context, or anything like that?
Thank you so much again, Jonathan, for a wonderful introduction. And it's truly a pleasure exchanging my views with you. I look forward to exchanging my insights based upon the experience I've had in working with different kinds of clients and in different countries. And I think that's the richness I bring to this conversation as we move along.
Yeah, wonderful. And, you know, as we were talking in the pre-interview, you were sharing a little bit about your situation, you know, during the pandemic, and you had just come from nearly a decade in the United Arab Emirates, and now you're back in Pakistan. But you truly are a global expert and have experience in many, many places. So I also appreciate that and am excited to pick your brain about some of these principles as they relate, not just within, you know, a single context like in the US or a Western kind of a context, but really more generally. So let's start there. And I know you like to talk about, excuse me, how you focus on an interdisciplinary approach to OD change management and that type of work within organizations to shape cultures and to make sure that you have healthy, engaging environments for employees. So maybe you can start by describing for us your philosophy of OD and change management, and then we can get into some of the particulars around what that can look like in organizations, how we apply the interdisciplinary elements, and then look at some global differences around the world.
Okay. So, Jonathan, I tend to view organizational development as a broader pathway to achieving organizational effectiveness in terms of, you know, doing various interventions throughout the organization. And change management is actually the pathway through which you can input a systematic methodology in terms of achieving those goals accordingly. So I think they're intertwined very closely to each other, but you know, it's important to seek the ultimate goal and not just be lost into the tools and techniques of the things itself, because a lot of these change efforts and initiatives have a very high probability of failure if you're not looking at a broader picture, especially from a humanistic angle. And with the technology aspect coming in, it seems like everything seems to be gravitating towards automation, whereas we're looking or even actually marginalizing some of the things that are more important in this context, which is actually the human factor that needs to be kept in mind accordingly. And I'll give you an example. In UAE, there's a lot of effort being put into putting technology into each and every aspect of various organizations. Now, this has actually resulted into a lot of apprehension and problematic relationships between the employees and the management, because 90% or thereabouts of the employees are expats. So they're always looking at the possibility that they might have to wrap up everything, you know, fold up their lives, however comfortable they may be, and just have to seek other avenues because their company is not actually aligning its own strategic imperatives with their own individual ambitions. So they're not pulling in the same direction together. So sometimes when a change initiative is announced, it actually results in ringing alarm bells for all these people in the workforce that start looking at the possibility that, hey, I might be actually a victim rather than be a facilitator for such a change. And that sort of brings in the mindset of a survivor. And then it sort of upends all kinds of positive initiatives because there's an internal struggle that starts going in these organizations where everybody is looking for each other rather than everybody uniting as a team and working for the higher goal of making sure that the organization remains relevant and competitive in the digital age. So these are the interesting dynamics that sort of evolve in that context, especially with organizations that are putting technology way above the concerns of the humanistic factor, and they're not actually looking at an optimum balance between the two.
Yeah, those are really great points. And you raise the important issue of change fatigue and resistance within organizations. And of course, we see that all the time. And you aptly pointed out that the vast majority of change initiatives tend to fail. There's a lot of research on this, and they fail for a variety of reasons. But a big part of it is that resistance component and the change fatigue that people are under. And so, you know, even if the change is ultimately going to be a positive for me, for my career, you know, for the success of the organization, just the sheer pace of change and the uncertainty that it creates can result in people putting up walls and barriers and resistance, or deciding to bail and jump ship and look for positions somewhere else. And so organizations can start to lose their top talent. So we really do have to, balance all of these elements. Now, certainly advances in technology and disruptive technologies can and should be utilized within organizations to help them be more successful. But to your point, we need to be very thoughtful about that. We need to take a holistic approach to understanding the organization, its challenges, and the issues at play. And we can't forget about the human element, because even with automation and AI, machine learning, and other disruptive technologies, we are always still going to need people in order to do those things that machines can't do and probably will never be able to do. And if we alienate everyone in the process of going through OD and change initiatives, then ultimately we're shooting the long-term sustainability of our organization. We're shooting that prospect in the, ourselves in the foot. And ultimately it's going to be very difficult in the long run. And I think, maybe I'm reading into this a little bit too much, and I don't want to put words into your mouth, but as we're framing the beginning of this episode, talking about interdisciplinary work and the importance of that in OD and change, in my mind, that largely is aimed to address those issues that you just described. As we're trying to take a holistic approach, which requires a systematic, holistic way of viewing the organization and its people and all of its challenges. And when we take that kind of an approach and we engage people in the process, then we can reduce the likelihood of change fatigue. We can increase the buy-in and reduce the resistance. And we increase the likelihood that the change initiative will be successful, which also then reduces change fatigue, because then we're not constantly trying to do the next new thing.
Yes, I think I definitely agree with that assessment. And especially the key word that you used right now is the word buy-in. And that's where a lot of the top management is consistently lacking, because in their own initiative to create their own branding stamp on the organization, they come up with these pet projects and they just want to make them, reach some sort of a conclusion without realizing the broader impact on all the stakeholders, since they are themselves beholden to some higher forces, maybe their board of directors or shareholders, and they just want to make sure that they can get quicker results and prove their own position within the organization as justified. However, that sort of approach creates a reverse reactionary mode within the workforce, where, sometimes even if the workforce is not able to push back actively, they do go into passive resistance. And one of the behavioral things that I've interestingly found out is that they start using humor as a passive resistance force. So everything becomes a joke to them. They will make fun of the senior management behind their back. They will have informal conversation where they will make fun of the object and the things that are going on and what the image has been projected to the outside world and what the real organization is functioning within itself and how there's functional breakdowns. And they sort of make it like an office humor thing, which helps them cope with this change fatigue that sort of brings in. Another thing is that change takes time. For example, if you say a quality judgment on that would be that at least give 18 months for something to actually settle down, take roots, show results, right? But in this hyperly competitive and sped up world, and especially in organizations who are actually forced to give quarterly results on how the organization is doing, everything needs to be then and there at the quickest way possible. Now, change takes time and it needs to be ingrained before it shows results, before it can be assessed properly, and the next initiative can be built upon that or made sure that the results have been achieved so they actually align with the higher objective of sustenance within the competitive world. And in that, a lot of people get frustrated. You talked about the talent leaving the organization. It's a very common factor. They get frustrated. You start losing your best people. And then you bring in the diversity and inclusion factor.
I'm excited to announce the publication of my new book from HCI Press, The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership: Ordinary Everyday Actions That Produce Extraordinary Results. Consider how the nature of work has shifted over the past 50 years. With increased globalization, rapid technological advancement, and the shift in economic composition, the average job of today looks very different than the average job of 50 years ago. What will the jobs and organizations of tomorrow look like? Moreover, what does this all mean for organizational leaders? What are the core competencies and capabilities of organizations and their leadership that are prepared for continued disruption and geopolitical and socioeconomic shifts? Regardless of what the future holds, increasingly, leaders need to be socially minded, data-driven, decisive, champions of talent, and disruptors of the traditional notions of leadership, teams, organizations, and work. The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership will help you to explore your own leadership competencies and capabilities and consider ways to apply and implement them into your workplace and personal life.
And I'll tell you one of the interesting factors which happens actually in the UAE and in a broader context in the GCC region, where salaries are pretty high as far as the management cadre is concerned. So a lot of expats are not attracted because there's anything other than higher salaries that are being offered to work in there. So they leave their homes, whether in Europe or US or Canada, even Pakistan, India. What they're trying to do is maximize their stay within that region based upon what is being offered as a compensation package, but that does not relate into a conducive work environment. So they're already tolerating a lot of the imbalances in terms of, hey, take this salary, resist the negative consequences of a bad or a regressive work environment, and make sure you stick around long enough so you can earn so much that you can take the next jump. Now, in that context, change becomes quite tricky, organizational development becomes quite tricky, and then technology enters as a sort of a buffer between the two. And interestingly, sometimes you see top management creating technology as a barrier between them and the workforce in terms of communication, in terms of avoiding hard questions, and just making sure that everybody sort of sings along in a tune which does not disturb the organizational harmony. So you don't get too many rebels in the organization, you just get a lot of conformers. So a problem with too many conformers is that the innovation starts dying down. So when you're talking about organizational development or change management, you're seeking avenues of that creativity and imagination that can drive an organization to become or stay relevant and competitive in the digital age. But if there are no innovators, if you don't give voice to the rebels, you are actually negating the very concept of that. And that's where you see a lot of resistance coming through and a lot of disillusionment that creeps in. And people start looking for the next opportunity where they can actually truly feel liberated enough to utilize the best abilities and feel competent enough in terms of doing justice to their talent.
Yeah, well said. I agree with everything you just said. And it's really interesting to hear it from the UAE perspective as well, because that adds an extra layer of challenge when you're dealing with such a high percentage of expat workers and trying to have a thriving organizational culture, shared purpose, and engaging employees. Certainly that's a challenge. So let's talk a little bit more specifically about this interdisciplinary approach as we try to create a holistic view of organizational challenges to drive change initiatives. How do you view interdisciplinarity, and why do you find that to be so important?
I think it's important because it contextualizes a lot of the principles and aspects and methodologies in a clarified manner for people to embrace and create a buy-in and be part of the movement itself. And it does not alienate them from the higher purpose. Hey, I'm pulling towards it because I gained something from it, and the organization gained something from it. So if you're not able to make such connections between the different functions and the disciplines that actually come together in making it a success, then you are not able to fulfill the higher objective of actually coming up with real change. You can do some salad dressing sort of a thing for a lot of the things, but that does not mean that the organization itself is growing. It could be just the organization is static and just needs sort of a marketing fabric on its image, which does not actually bode well for its longevity in terms of a viable presence within the corporate community. And that's the thing that is a challenge for leadership, because one of the things that I've found out for these leaders is that they are always, they ultimately go into a bubble in which they are actually saying a lot of things, they're directing a lot of things, they're being in a position where they become the fountain of knowledge and they start listening to the people from down under, as to speak. So a lot of the bottom up things stop being having an impact on how decision making is done. And it's more like what is being top down that is actually driving the thing. So as you well know, that culture seems to be driven from the top. And once there's a change at the top, the whole organization goes through this kind of an earthquake in terms of how it needs to gravitate and align itself with the new normal. And especially in these uncertain times, a lot of these things are being questioned, and especially with remote working and all kinds of setups. You know, what does change mean anymore? You know, do we need to have an in-person engagement, or whether we can do the same thing while we're sitting on Zoom meetings? Can that work? And how does each of us contribute positively and productively as part of a team? These are all questions which are now popping up, and how much value is everybody adding? There was a time when people could hide in bigger organizations, do just about the bare minimum amount of work and just not be noticed. Now everybody is accountable because everybody counts, and companies are realizing, hey, we can actually get the job done with six people and we had about 10 people. So what about the other four people? And this is the kind of thing that is streaming into this. And when we're looking at change management, when we're looking at organizational development, we're looking at interventions, we are actually entering into the zone of uncomfortable and in a difficult decision making, where a lot of these leaders are caught in a bind. And it's not just people who get impacted and leave the organization, but who are actually left behind. And they are also sort of in a quandary, whether I'm going to be next, or whether, what does change mean to me? Is AI a replacement for me, a companion for me, or a facilitator for me? So these are the kind of things that are swirling around in these organizations. And leadership has to wake up to that sort of scenario and not just be the top-down driver of knowledge or instruction or direction giving portfolio that they hold at this point. And it has to be more of a teamwork and a symbiotic relationship between all levels of the organizational hierarchy. And that's where actually interdisciplinary aspects become really important.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the contextual element that you described is so important. And when I'm, you know, I teach at the university, and when I teach students about OD and change, one of the very first things we explore is the origins of organizational development emerging really from an interdisciplinary background, where you had people coming from all different social science disciplines who focused on organizations and work, sociologists, psychologists, anthropologists, political scientists, business people, you know, name the social science, and you had people in those social science areas focusing on organizations and work. And slowly the field of organizational development as an interdisciplinary field started to emerge. And we can't forget that, because it's essential that we utilize a wide kind of range perspective where we open our aperture, the aperture of our understanding, and we utilize a wide variety of tools and techniques and not get stuck with, you know, a specific tool. That's one of the beefs I have with some consulting agencies, is they tend to have, their secret sauce, so to speak, that they claim is that they've hacked the code, and they know exactly what this, you know, the specific thing is that organizations need to do. And frankly, that's nonsense, because every organization is different. You have to approach each with fresh eyes. And certainly you can utilize experience and expertise and knowledge to inform, but largely you have to address every new organization with fresh eyes to be able to tackle it. And you have to look at it from a systemic, holistic approach that is inherently interdisciplinary. I recognize we're about out of time, but I did want to give you a chance to also share if there's any other thoughts or perspectives you had about OD and change from an international standpoint, any major differences you see globally, and then we'll wrap up for today.
I think I've truly enjoyed my conversation with you, Jonathan. I think what is really important is to realize that geographical and regional differences that come into this sort of equation are driven by the certain cultural norms and perspectives, which are unique to those places too. And sometimes when you're being part of a multinational and you're driven a corporate agenda, you have to be careful enough to make sure that you have an accommodation for these kinds of differences within the organizational hierarchy. So if you're driving change in a country where you're running a subsidiary where expats are dominating senior positions and local population has no hope of rising to those positions, there's already an inherent problem in terms of the workforce dynamics. So if you're trying to make some change, you have to understand these organizational behavioral issues, which are actually bubbling right beneath the surface. And if they're not tackled, then you just create a lot of problems which might pop up at the wrong time, and people become skeptical of any change or organizational development interventions. And that's where the clashes can occur. And although you might have an organizational culture, so as to speak, but there are a lot of subcultures which are also existing. And whether those things are not tackled, if those things are not tackled properly and timely and effectively, these things can actually mushroom into much bigger problems. So I think those things need to be washed out very carefully, and especially when you're dealing with remote working and you're looking at hybrid working. You know, you're looking at new environments, a new way of connecting with each other. And I'm all for management philosophies and tools and techniques, but in the end, it's human relationships that need to be reinforced. Because in the end, how do you define an organization? If it's a group of people that actually are pulling towards this unified goal with their individual ambitions all sewn in terms of, making sure that they are also internally satisfied and motivated and gravitating towards the higher goal of organizational excellence, then, you know, everybody has to be pulling together. But you have to understand that organizational behavior things, which are actually all the time bubbling. And unless you get a grip on that, these higher initiatives are liable to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. It has been a real pleasure talking with you today. Before we close, I just wanted to give you a chance to share with listeners how they can get in touch with you, get connected, and find out more about the work that you're doing. And then give us the final word on the topic for today.
Thank you. I can be reached on LinkedIn. I'm a very active person on LinkedIn, and I actually do write a lot, and those writings are published and they're available on my profile too. And that's one of the things that I actually do in terms of disseminating knowledge, especially on the projects I work with clients or the engagements that I have with a wider corporate community, or my engagements at the professional and regional and professional forums on a global scale. So please do connect with me on LinkedIn. I would love to have you there. As a parting point, I would just like to say, and I always remember this, remember Maya Angelou's famous words. She said, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. Well, people will never forget how you made them feel. So if you're looking at organization development and change management, you know, make sure those feelings are catered well and effectively, because without those, these things can seep into a lot of the other aspects that you're trying to improve, and they can nullify all the positive initiatives that you might actually be willing to engage in, but you might come up with so much passive resistance that they just don't have a high probability of succeeding. So good luck to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure. I encourage listeners to reach out, to get connected, find out more about what Murad can do for you and how he and his work can assist you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week.
We are excited about the launch of HCI's new magazine, Human Capital Leadership. Human Capital Leadership is a free, interactive e-magazine designed to help individuals, leaders, and organizations find innovative approaches to maximize their human capital potential. We will be publishing issues quarterly in August, November, February, and May. Check out the first issue and let us know what you think.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. I hope you stay healthy and safe, and that you have a great week.